What is a family? What is marriage? What is a man and what is a woman? What are the nature, purpose, and appropriate setting for sexual intimacy? Our culture can no longer provide clear or even rational answers to these questions. And confusions about these foundations of human life and love are among the consequences of the most significant and far-reaching revolution of this age of the world. Not the communist revolution or the digital revolution, but the sexual revolution. Consider this. In the United States in 1960, 9% of children lived with only one parent. Today, that number is 26%. In 1960, 24% of black children were born to single mothers. Today, that number is 77%. In 1960, 3% of white children were born to single mothers. Today, that number is 30%. Also in 1960, the total fertility rate in the United States was an average of 3.6 children per woman, while today it is 1.8 children per woman. This means that in my lifetime, our fertility rate has been cut in half and is now well below the replacement rate of 2.1 children per woman needed to sustain a population. And perhaps the worst change of all is in the number of Catholic marriages in the United States. In 1970, when there were only 49 million Catholics in America, we had 426,000 weddings. While in 2014, when there were 77 million Catholics, we had only 151,000 weddings, a decline in Catholic weddings of 64%, while we had an increase in the Catholic population of 57%. This is a catastrophe. And these catastrophic declines in marriage, family life, and the fertility rate are due to many factors, but surely two of the most important are contraception and abortion, both of which, as Blessed Pope Paul VI foresaw in 1968, lay the axe to the root of marriage and stable spousal love. There is, of course, no reliable way to know how many children either were not conceived at all or who were aborted chemically by contraceptives in the past 50 years. But the number must be in the tens or even hundreds of millions. And that's in the U.S. alone. What we do know is that in the United States today, one child is aborted surgically for every four children who are born, and that since 1973, there have been over 60 million abortions in this country. Put all of this together, and it means that the population of the United States would be in rapid decline right now, except for the large number of immigrants who come to these shores. But lest we conclude that this is merely an American or a Western problem, consider Japan, a culture wholly alien to our own, in which Christianity has almost no part. A recent survey found that a third of all Japanese adults under the age of 30 have never had even one date in their entire lives. A third of all young adults. At the same time, 25% of Japanese men say they never want children, and 45% of Japanese women are not interested in any form of romantic relationship. All of this helps explain why Japan's fertility rate is now 1.4 children per woman, and still falling. And this is why the population of Japan began to shrink 7 years ago. These trends in Japan and the United States are mirrored in all Western countries, which is among the reasons why all of the economies of the first world no longer grow as they did in the first decades after the Second World War. Our economists will argue about tax rates and interest rates, but hundreds of millions of producers and consumers are simply missing, and they are not among us to contribute to the economic activity that sustains life, not because they were killed in war or taken by famine or disease, but because they never existed. The hundreds of millions of people who are missing are the children we never had simply because we didn't want them. Our entire civilization is at a tipping point because so many people are literally not replacing themselves. And this willful sterility is both an essential feature and the dreadful cost of the sexual revolution. When sexual desire was untethered, first from marriage and then from babies, and released from all legal and moral constraints save mutual consent, then it became a force capable of maiming and killing, both physically and spiritually, both individuals and entire nations. And once that force was multiplied by the constant stream of pornography spilling out of our computers and mobile phones, the sterile isolation of the Japanese became the model for all to follow. An entire civilization, wealthier and more advanced than any in history, is no longer interested in providing the next generation because we have become so self-absorbed that children are regarded by vast numbers of people as a nuisance and a distraction from the true purpose of their lives, self-fulfillment through entertainment and pleasure. But in the midst of this turn away from the gift of life, the church rejoices in the feast of the Holy Family, a beautiful sign of the central place of marriage and children in human life, and a reminder that even God himself needed a home. When a husband and wife receive the gift of a child, then the couple becomes a family. And the family is revealed as the nursery of love which forms human persons into mature adults capable of self-mastery and self-donation, the twin virtues that are essential to all healthy relationships. And more than that, the coming of the Christ child into the world reminds us that all children are a blessing to be received with gratitude and joy, rather than a burden to be accepted grudgingly, if at all. Now, given how far along the path of self-centeredness and sterility the world has come, it seems likely that only a miracle of grace can draw us back from our inevitable decline. But such miracles do occur. We read in the letter to the Hebrews, "By faith Abraham received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore." In the sacred liturgy, we Christians call Abraham our father in faith. This places us among his descendants, who are as numerous as the stars and the sands. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is revealed to the world by the Lord Jesus to be not only our Creator, but also his Father, and therefore our Father. In other words, by the old covenant with Abraham and the new covenant of the Lord Jesus, God is calling first Israel and then the entire human race into his eternal family, where we each find our dignity and destiny as children of God, living in our Father's house at the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb and his bride, the church. And that is why the natural love of man and woman became one of the seven sacraments of the new covenant. The marriage of one man and one woman is an instrument of God's grace and the only proper place for the expression of their sexual love and for the receiving of the gift of children. Moreover, a family based on the union of husband and wife is also by far the best setting for us to hear the gospel and be prepared for the supernatural life and love of God's family. That is why, in the first lesson from the book of Genesis, Abraham asks, "O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless?" Abraham knew in his toil and hardship what we have forgotten in our prosperity, that all of the blessings of this life are given to us to be shared with the next generation and the next until the full number of the children of men are gathered into God's everlasting kingdom. My friends, we are all free to live our lives without meaning, direction, or purpose, seeking only pleasure and entertainment. But who would want to? We have the capacity to shape our lives in a manner contrary to the liberating truth of the Word of God. But why would we? For several generations now, too many men of the West have built their lives on self-indulgence and self-absorption, and then we are surprised to find that the leading cause of death among our young adults is suicide. But the Father's eternal plan for our salvation is that we have life and have it in abundance. And the ordinary arrangement in which that life is given and nurtured is in a stable family built on the love of a father and mother. The many ways in which marriages and families struggle and fail should never cause us to despair of the goodness, truth, and beauty of the love, both human and divine, which is shared by husbands, wives, and their children. The Lord Jesus, his Virgin Mother, and her husband Joseph teach us that family life is the privileged place of grace for nurturing authentic love and true faith. And it was in their home at Nazareth that the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. God be praised for the Holy Family. God be praised for the blessings of marriage and family life. And God be praised for the gift of children, especially for the gift of his Son, who saves us from everlasting death and raises us up to eternal life. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.